This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora, assalamu alaikum and hello friends. Welcome to Global Kids with Khaled on ORFM Youth Zone, where we explore the world together through stories, adventures and smiles. Today's guest has spent much of her life using words and listening to people. She worked as a broadcaster, lawyer, teacher, and community leader, and she now represents people across Tahiti. But today, I want to discover the person behind all those worlds. I want to know what she was like as a child, what makes her laugh, how she finds courage, and what she has learned from listening to people's stories. Kia ora, Ingrid, thank you so much for joining me. Before we begin, what's one little thing that has made you smile recently?
Oh, kia ora and assalamu alaikum. Just watching you sitting here broadcasting like this so professionally is making me smile. I think it's wonderful. And actually, it reminds me of when I was a 12-year-old, I used to do a show on Radio Pacific in Auckland.
Oh.
And I remember how exciting it was. I somehow got this show and there were a couple of us. There was a young boy called Jonathan who, from memory, was blind and me. And every Sunday we'd go in and we would have our own show. So this is exciting.
Oh, so you're just like me.
That's right.
That's such a lovely way to begin. I think little moments can sometimes tell us a lot about a person. So what were you like when you were 10 years old? Were you like curious, talkative, or were you like quieter than people might expect?
Very good question. I've always been curious. I think curiosity is a... we have our good attributes and our bad ones. Curiosity is something I really value in people because it gives you such an enjoyment of life and so much breadth of experience. I probably talked less than I do now. I think I wasn't as confident as I am now, so I was quite reserved. And I remember my mum used to always say to me, "Smile, Ingrid, smile." So I must have had quite a serious face.
Oh, that's still awesome. You look really pretty. When you were my age, what did you imagine your grown-up life would look like?
I had a big imagination. I loved broadcasting. And as I was driving here, I was remembering that back in those days we had a tape cassette. And one of my first experiences of kind of real broadcasting in a way was doing an assignment at school when I was probably about 10 years old, where I went round with a little tape cassette and microphone and I recorded people and you could edit it on the tape cassette. And I remember how much I enjoyed that. And I was thinking, why did I enjoy it? And I think I just enjoyed the creative process of putting something together and telling a story. So for me, telling stories, even at that age, was really important. I loved telling stories, and I also saw lots of inequality. As a 10-year-old, I remember seeing things that I knew were very wrong, and sometimes the adults around me were accepting them as normal. And I remember feeling frustrated and not understanding why they could think these things were normal when they were unfair.
Oh, you're so full of bravery. I really love communicating with people, but overall, I'm pretty shy, but you're really brave. Did any part of that dream come true in a surprising way?
I think you're very brave doing a radio show, so you're braver than you realise. And a lot of it has come true. I mean, I became a broadcaster. I became a journalist. My family listened to a lot of news and radio and TV. My parents were quite obsessed with the news. So when I was at school and we had dinner together, we wouldn't really talk so much about our lives. We would often talk about what was going on in the world. And I think that really shaped me. And it made me curious to go out into the world. I had a job when I was, before I became an MP, where I worked for something called the British Council. And I got to travel a lot. And that was a wonderful dream come true because I was able to go overseas for my work, meet lots of different people from different cultures, and work on things that I was passionate about in countries across East Asia in particular. I went to Myanmar when it was called Burma and before it opened up. And I had lots of adventures. So I think, again, curiosity helped me make those dreams come true.
Yeah, that's a really great way. How many countries have you been?
I've lost count.
Oh, so many.
Yeah, I've been very lucky.
Oh, yeah, that's a really great way. What's something about young Ingrid that is still a part of you today?
I think my curiosity and also my sense of justice. Like, I really do remember thinking things were unfair, and that's got worse for me rather than better. And instead of thinking, well, nobody can change the world, what I've had to learn is that you can change the world, but you need other people to do it with. And so finding your so-called tribe, finding your group where you can work together to build a movement has been something that's been a lifelong journey of learning for me. Because as much as we want to make a difference by ourselves, we are so much more powerful when we do it together with other people. And sometimes that means slowing down a little bit as well, because you've got to take people with you.
Yeah, that's a really great message. So was there an adult that made you feel truly heard when you were a child?
I think my parents did. And I can see that you're really lucky with your parents. They didn't stop me. If I said I wanted to be something, they would say, oh, how are you going to do that? Or when are you going to do that? They never said, oh, you can't do that. So I was very blessed to have parents that gave me that confidence. In terms of role models, I have to say that when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, it's probably more my early 20s, Helen Clark was the Prime Minister. And so it was very normal for me to see a woman politician in the highest office of leadership. And I'm grateful to that. She gave me my bravery award that I got when I went to the Asian tsunami and covered it for journalism. But it was very normal to see a woman in that position. And I think that's a blessing, because we can only aspire to the things that we can see around us. It takes a huge imagination to break through barriers if you don't have those role models there.
Oh, and what did that person, what did your parents do that made you feel important?
They listened. So they listened, they engaged in my world, they answered my questions. Mum was a little bit more anxious. If I said I was going to go off and do stuff, she would worry about my safety. But my dad never worried about it at all. And I feel very lucky that I didn't feel scared of going into situations. Some of them I probably should have felt a bit scared of, conflict zones like in the Solomon Islands and so on. But I always just had this confidence that if I was there for the right reasons and telling the right stories and, you know, didn't do silly things, that I would be safe.
Yeah, that shows you are really brave. Now it's time for a quick game called This or That. So I'll give you two choices and you have to pick one. You can explain your answer if you would like.
Sure.
A quiet morning or a busy afternoon?
A quiet morning.
Same. Books or movies?
Probably books, but I tend to like non-fiction, which means factual books.
Yeah, same with me. I love non-fictional books. Tea or coffee?
Coffee. But I have both. I always have a tea when I wake up, and then I have a coffee.
Oh, same with my parents. They drink tea in the morning and coffee at night. The beach or the mountains?
The beach. I love the beach. I've always lived near the sea, and if I can't be near the sea, I feel like there's something a bit wrong. So very lucky to have always lived near the water.
Yeah, same. I'm not really into hiking or stuff. I really love the beach.
I do like mountains, but if I had to choose, I'd choose the beach.
Yeah, same. Planning everything or being spontaneous?
A bit of both. My nature is spontaneous, but I've learned as I've become an adult that planning is really, really important. I find planning a bit boring, so I'm in a privileged position to have people that help me to plan and help me keep on task. Because my nature is, because I'm very curious, is to run off and get distracted by something that isn't on task. And so I do need the planning.
Yeah, definitely. You do need planning. And you need like time to do it. So I always like have some spare time to do planning. A big community celebration or a quiet dinner with just family?
Probably both. I really enjoy my community celebrations, particularly in my role as an MP. It's one of my favourite parts of the job, because I'm connecting with people, which I love, and I'm listening and seeing the impact of policies and, you know, whether life is good or bad. But I really love my family time as well.
Yeah, like you said before, you're really brave. So I think you should, you know, connect with people more. But a little bit of both. Traveling somewhere new or returning to a favorite place, like your home country?
Probably traveling somewhere new.
Yeah, same. I really want to also explore. Speaking to a large crowd or having just a meaningful conversation with just like one person?
Probably having a meaningful conversation with one person. I've been very lucky lately. There's been a story going on about some things that have happened at a local mental health institution, and lots of really brave people have come forward, and I've been having one-on-one conversations with them, sharing their stories with me, both patients and former staff. And it's been a privilege to connect with them. And even though some of it's on phone calls, I feel the connection very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how generous they are.
And it feels good.
It feels wonderful. And you lose time and you lose yourself in those moments. And those are the really golden moments for me.
Yeah, same with me. It feels really good. Helping someone with advice or just simply sitting and listening?
Bit of both.
Yeah, same with me. So you've spent a lot of your time listening to people and sharing their stories. What makes someone feel safe enough to tell you something important?
That's a really searching question. It's a great question. And I've thought about it myself because I do have an ability to get people to share things with me that are quite personal. I think it comes down to dignity. I think that when people feel that you're listening with in a way that allows their dignity to come through and doesn't judge them and doesn't feel sorry for them as well. So really understanding that their experience is their experience and there's no judgment or emotional response. It's just opening a space for them to be heard. I think that's when people can really feel safe to share. And I've been lucky that people have been very generous to share their stories with me.
Yeah, same. And it's like the meaningful one. It's really good. Just with one person, you can connect a lot.
Yeah, and I'm somebody who doesn't like people feeling sorry for me. And I think often when we hear of hardship as a human being, it's easy to feel sorry for someone. Because I don't like that feeling, I don't do that to other people. And sometimes that's what enables them to feel that dignity that otherwise they might not feel.
Yeah. Sometimes people think brave means not feeling afraid. What do you think brave really, really means?
Sometimes it means not feeling afraid, even when you probably should, because you're so single-minded about the outcome. I think it's also just really having self-confidence about what your own values are and understanding that in your world what is right and wrong. So you have to be very sure of your values. And then you might be aware that other people are not going to agree with you, but it doesn't matter because what matters to you is being true to your own values.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You once worked as a broadcaster after a terrible tsunami. When many people had experienced something very sad. So how do you speak with someone about a painful experience while still protecting their feelings?
I think it comes back to what I said before about holding space.
Yeah.
I can tell you a story about my tuk-tuk driver at the Asian tsunami when I first was able to get out of the airport precinct. And he drove me around and he couldn't speak much English and I certainly couldn't speak any Indonesian. But at some point, I was feeling a bit sad. I was sitting there feeling sad because it was my one-year-old daughter's birthday and she was in New Zealand. And he could see I was sad and he said, "You look sad." And I said, "Yeah, my daughter's birthday." And then he just looked really wistful and he said, "My daughter and my three other children died in the tsunami."
Oh.
And I said, "How did you survive?" And he said that he'd gone up to the hospital to see his mother-in-law and that was the only reason that he was saved. And it was such a powerful exchange because he didn't say it in a judging way. He just said it as a statement of fact. And it made us incredibly connected. And it made me realize how brave and strong these people were. And I thought to myself in that moment, no matter how bad life gets, I'm never ever going to feel sorry for myself like this, because there's always people who are really struggling. And I've managed to hold on to that a little bit. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself, but I try to let it go really quickly.
Oh, that's really sad for that person. Have you ever asked someone a simple question and received an answer that stayed with you for years?
Probably that one, actually. And I think the fact that he was driving and helping me to get the stories out was his way of trying to deal with the situation he was in, rather than sitting by himself at home and just feeling so devastated. So there was a reciprocal relationship there, meaning even though he was helping me a lot more than I was helping him, he was still getting something. And so we just got on with it. And that moment has stayed with me forever.
Yeah, I don't know how people can feel like that and they can be so brave. I've never been in a situation like that, but I hope I don't. Sometimes children have something important to say, but adults are busy or think they're too young. What do you wish adults would listen to children about more carefully?
I think a lot of things, because I know that as even a 7, 8, 9-year-old, I knew what was right and wrong. I knew when people were being isolated or bullied, not even by children, but by parents or by teachers. They made decisions about things that I knew were wrong. Some of them were, I'll give you an example, was there were some parents back in the day when there wasn't a lot of kapahaka around, there were some parents that didn't want their children to come on the noho marae, to the marae, because they didn't like the whole te ao Māori thing. Even as a 7-year-old, I thought these parents are really crazy, like that's silly, and they're making their kids feel left out and they're causing this problem when there doesn't need to be one. So if we understand that children know what is right and wrong as much as adults do, sometimes more, then we need to open our ears and allow them to follow their hearts and not try to shape and control what children think too much, because the world is not a great place at the moment, and I think if we listen to children more, it could be a bit better.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes I have something important to say, but mostly my parents might be busy that time. But this is really good advice and a really, really beautiful advice.
And it's a good reminder to me to listen to my 12-year-old son, because he's often busy. And sometimes it's something small like, hey, Mum, come and watch this thing that I've seen on the screen. And I'm like, oh, the screen. But then he shows me and it's a really cool thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad my son's curious and he's learning these things from a screen. It's not all bad. So that's one example.
Yeah. And I hope lots of parents are listening to this too. Have you ever felt nervous about speaking up even when you knew something mattered? And what helped you find your courage?
I feel nervous a lot speaking up because often there's other agendas at play, and it's not always convenient for me to speak up. And so every day I'm often in a situation where I'm thinking, do I need to speak up about this or should I stay in my lane? Most of the time I speak up, and it comes back to that internal questioning of what is right for me and what is right for the people I serve in Tairi. And particularly as an electorate MP, I'm very aware that that I have this role. My political party has a part to play, but as the people of Tairi that chose me, and therefore that's the first people that I turn to think, who do I need to serve?
Yeah, it's really good that you're aware. Okay, so now I'm going to give you some imaginary powers.
Okay, cool.
But you can only choose one each time.
Okay.
So pretty much like, would you rather? Would you rather have the power to make every child feel confident or make every adult listen more carefully?
Every child feel confident.
Would you rather be able to remove one worry from every person or give everyone one happy memory?
Remove every worry.
Would you rather create one perfect day for your family or one perfect day for the whole community?
For the whole community.
Yeah, it's good. Would you rather help people understand each other better or help everyone feel that they belong?
Gosh, that's a really hard one.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
The feeling of belonging is so important to me. I think often that's one of my primary, what we call primary drivers or motivations, because I think feeling like you don't belong is one of the worst feelings in the world and causes a lot of problems in the world. So yeah. That's super important. But the other one's really important too.
So would you like to choose both for that one?
Yes, please.
Okay. Would you rather be able to travel anywhere in the world instantly or bring anyone you miss to have tea with you?
Gosh, well, I miss my mum who passed away a few years ago, and I would love to have a cup of tea with mum, so that would have to come first. However, I would love to travel instantly anywhere in the world because I'm a very curious person. So the tea just ahead a little bit.
That's really good. I hope your mom will hear this. Now we're going to create some happy news together. So I will begin a headline and you have to finish it. So it's kind of like a news. Children across Aotearoa wake up today to discover
that every adult is going to listen to them differently.
Dunedin has become the first city in the world to
end homelessness.
Yeah, that's really nice. A 10-year-old child has amazed everyone by...
By writing a new school curriculum that makes kids really excited to go to school and learn.
Oh, who's that?
Sorry?
Who's that?
So the 10-year-old child is going to write a school curriculum, like a new, all new lessons and new things that every single child will really enjoy.
Adults everywhere have agreed to listen more carefully whenever
they eat dinner with their kids. And they try to eat dinner with their kids every night as a family.
Before we finish, it's time for our final quick game. Try to answer each question in 5 seconds. A word that makes you feel happy.
Sunshine.
Your favorite comfort food.
Tea or coffee.
A person who always makes you laugh.
My son's father.
A place that feels like home.
Dunedin. Tairi.
Yeah, same. Something you are still learning.
How to be a better listener and how to be a better MP.
Every quality every good interview needs. One quality that every interview needs.
Connection and I'd say empathy as well. I've noticed you empathizing with my answers. That's a very good skill as an interviewer.
One question children should ask adults more often.
What do you need me to do for you to know that I'm okay? And then they'll stop nagging you and telling you, do this, do that. You just say, what is it you need to know from me so that you can just be quiet for a while and let me do my thing as a child?
Yeah, children should and adults should listen to this. I think they should ask that question. One word every child should hear more often. Could be from their parents, anyone.
I see you. It's not one word, but anyway.
It's fine. Imagine a child is listening today who has something important to say but feels too shy or unsure to speak. What would you like to say directly to that child?
I just think every child is magical and here with a purpose. And if there's nobody there to listen, write it down in a journal and hold that journal very close to you and treat that journal as your best friend. And one day you'll look back and you'll realize what a magnificent child you've been.
Oh, that's such a good message. You should hear this. Whoever, that child who feels shy, should definitely hear this. And thank you so much, Ingrid. Thank you for sharing your stories, your advice, and fun science with me today. Would you like to say thank you? I mean, would you like to say bye to everyone?
Yeah, I'd love to. And I'd like to say thank you for such a in-depth and searching interview. It's been one of the most enjoyable interviews I've done. And your questions
have been
some of the deepest questions. I wish all interviews were like this. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
and
you
to
too.
All the kids out there, just know that you're beautiful, that you're loved, and that you belong in this world, and just know that whatever you do, you're doing great.
Thank you so much for that message. This is Kidded from Global Kids with Kidded. Until next time, keep asking thoughtful questions, keep listening with kindness, and never believe that your voice is too small to matter. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Thank you for exploring the world with me on Global Kids with Skidit on ORFM Youth Zone. Join me for more adventures next time. You can find our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on oar.org.nz. This is Skidit signing off. Kia ora, ala hafiz, and goodbye.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.